So, Thanksgiving is pretty near upon us. And as was so dutifully pointed out by Linda, all the different foods that'll be on the table. Now I'm so hungry I can't see straight. Anybody want to? I can cut this sermon short. Except for one little problem. If I ever preach a sermon that was too short, I'm afraid my grandmother would come up out of the ground and get me. It's all about memories, ain't it? I remember fondly Thanksgiving because it holds two special memories to me. As a boy growing up, that was the day we got in wood. We got in wood on that day. We spent all morning in the woods at sunrise cutting firewood, me and my daddy, and a 1947 and a half Chevrolet 2-ton flatbed. And from the time I was 8 years old, I got to drive that thing out across on the road to the woods where we picked up firewood, with my dad fussing at me the whole time. Don't over rev that thing. Why don't you shift it like that? Why don't you slow down a little bit in that turn? I didn't care. And we'd cut wood all morning long, and then we'd come home at lunchtime, and we'd belt up the farm all eight to the bucksaw, and we'd cut them logs into length. And that was a big time. And we had a deal. Whomever got done stacking their wood pile first had to go on in the house and get ready for Thanksgiving meal. Whoever didn't get done had to put the chainsaws away, had to put the truck away, had to roll the belt up and put it away, had to put the tractor away. Until I was 16 years old, I never got in that house first. And at the time I was 16, I got to have so much fun driving the tractor in the truck, I never went in the house first. And then there was a year when I was about 10 years old that the current went out on Thanksgiving Day. And we had to go get one of the big diesel tractors at the farm and plug it into the power pole out front. Because the power company had given us a hook-in. And we had a generator because we still had to melt, and we still had to feed, and we still had to eat. And so my job was to go out every 15 minutes and check that tractor to make sure the fuel wasn't gelling up because it was cold. After my uncle got everything hooked up, I had to take a stick and go out there and swirl it around in a tank. Come to find out years later, he had put all this anti-gel in it. They just wanted to see if I would go out there every 15 minutes and do that. Someday, I will get him for that. They're precious memories.
Precious memories, unseen angels, sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfold. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Precious Father, loving Mother, fly across the lonely years. And old home scenes of my childhood in fond memory still appear. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Of the midnight echoes from the past I hear. precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold.
Say howdy to everybody, tell them you love them, and how glad you are to be here. All right then. Now that we've all got on the same page and woke up. Good morning.
Good morning.
And see, now how much better is that? I've done told you all time and time again, if I'm going to be up here working, you're going to be awake. Or I'm eventually going to install them alarms in the benches. Now, I got a little bit of business to take care of because I got somebody up here, and then I've got to turn her loose. It's Elizabeth's birthday. It was yesterday. She was 15 years old yesterday. And Miss Elizabeth has been helping the children with their program, and I couldn't be prouder of it. So everybody say happy birthday, Elizabeth. One, two. Don't you put that coat up there now. One, two, three. Happy birthday, Elizabeth. All right, you can go on back now. Ain't nobody escapes it. Nobody. Good morning. What's on your heart this morning? Where's your joys and concerns? We saw the snow this morning, as you all well know. That winds me up into a dimension that's just too much. I can't wait to see it. When we were coming down off the mountain, I looked down from the mountain. I said, it's snowing down there somewhere. I didn't realize it was going to be here. And we showed up this morning and we didn't have no current. And Greg took care of fixing that. And they were making jokes about me that the steward of the church had to turn on the light. And I had to counter by saying, but I put my hands on him and sent him forth with the power. Nobody thinks that's funny but me. What a beautiful day it is. We're happy to have the visitors. What's on your heart this morning? Where has God led you with your joys and concerns? Others this morning, joys, concerns? If not, then let us move along. And as we prepare for our prayers, if you have that unspoken request as we bow forward, just that hand up and down as we come forward. Thank you. Father, you know what we need before we even start to say the words. And how thankful we are for that. It seems like that's the word we're going to be using a lot is thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. And why not? With everything that you have given us, the forgiveness of our sins, that you would pick us up and lift us up and put us back on the path when we have slipped and fell off, that you even think about us. Thank you. We praise you, Father. We hold you so close to us because it is through you that we have everything. And how thankful we are of that, Father. We are especially thankful today for those who came out for a visit. They're not strangers. They're not from another church. They are family that we didn't know we had and we're getting to know them. How thankful it is to have them with us today. And pray for their safety as they travel back. We thank you, Father, for those who have made it out today. It's cold, and they saw the value of being in God's house. We pray a special blessing upon those unable to be with us today. We keep Bernie lifted up, and Martha, and Anna Lee, and Anna. Father, strengthen them up and bring them all back. We pray for Becky, Father, as she is still not with us, and we ask that you would continue to lift her up. And we're thankful for the birthdays, even in the youngest form. How wonderful it is to remember the day of creation, the day a miracle happened. Father, we're thankful for when prayers get answered, for when we see the healing powers, when we see the effects come forth. And we pray a special blessing upon those still struggling in all things, be it against the frailties of this body, sometimes even that against the mind, the general struggle with the world around us, Father. We're ever more reminded, we're ever more thankful of the things that you have given us. And we pray that those blessings would continue, Father. We thank you and we pray a special blessing upon those who see fit to take care of us. They have answered a call that is great. They have answered the call of charity. They have said, this person I will take care of. Be it those at the restaurant, those who foster out their time to bring young children in and raise them up and give them that chance, Father. Bless them. Those who have served, those who are serving in all capacities. Fire, rescue, police, military. To those who teach the minds in the schools, in the homes, in the Sunday schools. Bless them all, Father. We pray upon those who have written down that which is to be contained between you and them and put them in our prayer box. May they be lifted up and their prayers answered. Draw us together now, Father. Bring us together under the prayer that Jesus laid out for us, that beautiful set of words. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 17. Starting in the 11th verse, for a sermon titled, In This Moment, we go to Luke and we seek out the guidance of words there. We listen to an age-old story that I think doesn't get told enough. I had a funny experience, and I want to thank Diane for this because it was really cool. I don't know how else to explain it. Last Sunday's sermon was just whatever it was for me. I don't use a lot of resources. On occasion I do. The last Sunday sermon came, and as you all know, with little comes much more. And I used what scripture I used, and we had a good time with it. And as a matter of fact, I have been asked to, and I will show that video again. Got it right here. I got a message from Diane that on Sunday, John Heggie was preaching from the same scripture that I used, about the same message that I had.
Same title.
Now I'm going to have to call him this week and have a discussion with him about stealing my idea. But she said, look, Paul, you're preaching with the big dogs now. I am a big dog. That's a blessing. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village,
10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him. Let us pray together, Father. Set aside our labors, our thoughts of everything outside those doors, and let us be dwelt right within these four walls in the Holy Spirit, in you, Father, that we may come to know you just a little closer, that our walk with Jesus may be strengthened, and that we may be better prepared to meet the world as it comes to us. Bind us up, Father. In Jesus' name, all of his children said, Amen. Let me ask you a question. How was your week? Was your week? Did you have some bad things happen to you? Did you lose your car keys? Get in an argument with someone? Lose your temper? Become frustrated? Lose your patience? Were you really, really tired at some point? Did you have a bad week? I didn't lose my car keys, but everything else I'm pretty sure applies. It happens. We have a week that we go through things where we are tempted and railed against and beat on and beat down, and we come home and we're tired and we're grouchy. My wife is smiling at me because she's like, "And I must have the market cornered on it." But a couple of minutes and I start to get in a better mood. But how was your week? Did you have some good things happen? Did you find your car keys? Did you hear from a friend you hadn't heard from for a long time? Did you call someone and talk to them? Did something go good at work? Did you have a good day? Had things along the way made you smile at some point? So you see, you had it both, right? You had bad, and you had good. And in every moment, in that particular moment, you were faced with a challenge or with an opportunity. What did you do in each of those moments? When you were upset, did you get mad at everything and everyone? That would be me. My wife says my patience wears so thin sometimes, she once saw me get in a fight with a napkin.
Anyone?
Because it wouldn't open the right way. Did you smile with great satisfaction when things were going right? Let me tell you what happened. I cleaned the windows on the outside of the house yesterday because that's what I like to do. I know that don't make sense, but see, that's outside the house. And I can never get them windows clean, and I'm about to share with you all a secret. I could never get them windows clean. We got a great big picture window, and that great big picture window looks out on my kingdom. And from the picture window, you can see tractors everywhere. But the picture window is dirty, and I can't see nothing. And I've never been able to get it clean, and I found this recipe where you take 2 cups of water and 1/4 cup of vinegar and 1/2 teaspoon of dish detergent, and you mix them all around together, and you brush them on the window, and you spray the window off. That window is crystal clear. I got so excited I couldn't stop. I went clean around the house cleaning windows. I found my beautiful wife standing in front of the window going, "Why can't you do this everywhere?" Smile with great satisfaction. When things are going wrong, when things are going right, in this moment, what did you do? Did you pray? Did you thank God? That's the tough one. Did you thank God for the badness as well as for the good? I see some faces going, "Well, not exactly, Paul. Neither did I." We forget, brothers and sisters. We get lost
That when things are going bad, we still need to stop and thank Him.
Why?
Well, because things could be so much worse. Things could be so much different. We need to thank Him because of what? That we have Him to go to. And how often it is that we forget to thank Him when things are suddenly going right. Last Sunday, we lit out of here. We had an hour of time to travel from my home to Pipe Creek. We left here, hammered down. I hit every light green on the way home. I mean, every single light from here to my house was green. I got out of the truck and praised it. Thank you, Father! My aunt and my uncle, if they'd been outside the house, would have been looking at me like this. What is wrong with them? But we drove through every green light. But did you think, do you remember that in the hardest moments, in the best of moments, to say thank you in this moment, did you remember? We got a time coming up on Thursday, don't we? There's some great words that were spoken, and, well, I need a prop. I got to put on my politician's coat so I can read this thing just right. I wanted to shave my beard up and get a big black hat, but I'm married, so I didn't get to do that. Let me try this out. This year is drawing close toward its close. Had been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so of extraordinary nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war, unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations. Order has maintained. The laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere, except in the theater of military conflict. While that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union, needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not been arrested. The plow, the shuttle, the ship, the axe, and enlarge the borders of our settlements. And as the mines, as well as of iron and coal, of the precious metals have yielded more abundantly than heretofore, population has made steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect the continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel has devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due Him for such singular deliverances and blessings, that they do also with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience maintain, commend to His tender care all who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in this lamentable civil strife.
in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the United States seal to be affixed, done at the city of Washington this third day of October in the year of our Lord 1863, and the independence of the United States, the 88th. Proclamation of President Abraham Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863, declaring Thanksgiving. A lot of big fancy words in there. You want me to boil it down to you? We should thank God every moment for everything we have. Oh, yeah, this thing. That's too hot. I don't do well in coats. One moment. Go back to your scripture for a moment. I want to set the scene for you just in case you have forgotten. Do you understand what leprosy is? Regardless of what you heard as a child, your fingers and arms and toes won't fall off. That's an old myth. What they will do is shrink and become deformed and scaled back. Leprosy was a horrible, horrible, wretched disease which has affected mankind for well over 4,000 years. In its fancy term, it is a it might be a German word. I'm not even going to try it. It's some kind of disease of the peripheral nerves and mucosa of the upper respiratory tract. Skin lesions are the external sign. Left untreated, it'll be progressive and cause damage to the skin, nerves, limbs, eyes. They will become numb and diseased as a result. And quite possibly kill you. So now that we understand what the affections are, we need to understand what it meant to be a leper. You didn't get to live next to anybody. Do you realize that today leprosy is still abounds? It still spreads by simple nasal droplets. But in treatment, 2 weeks of treatment, it's gone. Do you realize that 95% of you sitting in this room are already immune to it over the years? But it's still here. You got to become a leper, you lived in a colony because it was so contagious. If you were found to have leprosy, you were ostracized. And these 10 men, seeing Jesus Christ, cried out to him. I imagine I would have too. I imagine that I would have gone to him with everything I had, begging him to heal me. Wouldn't you? In this moment, would you have found your way? What's the Bible say? Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They didn't take for one second but to acknowledge him as the Master, as Jesus, as the greatest, as to have pity on us, as to deliver us from this evil, as to take us away from this pure, dire situation. And he says, go and sell yourselves to the priest. And we all know what happens. 10 men. They didn't question. They didn't ask. They didn't say, what? They took off running. And along the way became cleansed. It's a miracle. One said, thank you. Are we the 9 or the 1? More often than not, I'm sorry to say, we act like the 9. What we need to reach toward is to become the 1. In this moment, when the world is falling down upon you, in this moment you reach out for what you already know, which is Jesus Christ our Savior, and you say, thank you, Father, for hearing me. Thank you for understanding me. Thank you for everything you have given. If it be your will, take me from this. And when he does, then you praise him all the more. That's what Thanksgiving is. It's not a big long table laid out with every kind of meat imaginable or foodstuffs. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against it. But it's not the reason. It is a day of thanksgiving.
because Him who loves us gave us Jesus who saved us, that we may be ever more free. Abraham Lincoln, writing about that, laid it out very clearly. I love that language from so long ago. I wish I could talk like that, but I can't. But what he said in that speech was our reliance on divine providence. That means we can't control nothing without Him. In this moment, when it's bad, when it's good, we are to praise Him. We are to accept all things from Him. In Romans chapter 5, these words come from Paul as he writes to the Romans, starting in the third verse. He says, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." That's a hard one, ain't it? I just slammed my hand in the door. Thank you, Father. It'll be red and bruised for a week, but it'll be pretty. So thank you for the pretty colors. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Ooh. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Amen. Our joy in our suffering, our joy in those moments, takes us from the bad to the good in this moment. Reminds us of what Thanksgiving is. Reminds us that Jesus had a simple, simple moment. And that Luke, in his writing, in what he transcribed down, Luke stated and put something out there that we as Christians always need to remember, and that is to say thank you all the time. 10 went, 1 came back. Can you imagine yourself as a leper and being discharged of that disease? Wouldn't you want to turn around and hold on to Him for all your might? Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. When you forget to say thank you for the little things, the big things aren't as much value. You know, the pilgrims celebrated at Plymouth for 3 days after their first harvest in 1621. 17th century accounts do not identify this as Thanksgiving, but rather that it followed the harvest. But we know what it was. Two colonists, and I have it, two colonists gave a personal account. There were something like 90 Indians and 53 pilgrims. William Bradford of the Plymouth Plantation wrote, "They began now to gather in the small harvest they had and to fit up their houses and dwellings against the winter. For as some were thus employed in affairs abroad, others were exercised in fishing, about cod, bass, and other fish, of which they took good store. All the summer there was no want, and now there began to come in store of fowl as winter approached. Besides, they had about a peck a meal a week to a person, or now since the harvest, Indian corn to the proportion." Edward Winslow of Mort's Relation writes, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, that so we might, after a special manner, rejoice together. After we had gathered the fruits of our labor, the 4 in one day killed as much fowl as with little help beside served the company almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed us 5 deer, which we brought to the plantation and bestowed upon our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it not always be..." Now, I want you to listen. "And although it not always be so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." In this moment, he knows that badness is coming, and he knows that goodness abounds. He knows that there will be times of want that will be followed by times of goodness. He knows that in all things we give what? I wound it up. I'll try it again. In all things we give what?
Thanks.
Man, I'll tell you what. Where is that buzzer at? In all things we give thanks. In this moment, in this moment, in this moment, let us fail not to remember the lessons of the 10. We all got healed. We all were stained with sin, far worse than leprosy. We need to remember always, always, in this moment, whatever it is, good or bad, give thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. I don't reckon we can say that word near enough, but we do thank you. We thank you for the joy that you have bestowed upon us unending. And like the writer at the first Thanksgiving, we know that we will not always be in overabundance, and that at times our stores may be depleted, our future may look bleak, there may be weakness surrounding us, but we know that you have the goodness with you to see us through until you call us home. Remind us, Father, that when something happens, to say thank you, be it good, be it bad. Remind us of the lesson of the 10 that were cleansed. And instead of 9 running away, let us be 10 coming back. And we are always thankful of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Always, always, always. And of you, Father, who sent him. Let us not forget that in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we prep up to sing this last hymn, hymn number 797, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. The prayer bench is open. If you have a particular prayer, you can come up here and pray. If you need me to pray with you, I will. If you need strengthening with the Lord, I stand ready. We stand ready. I just ask you, don't go out them doors without getting it if you need it. Call it.
Number 797 is 10.